Are you bound to a lie, bound to sin, or any bondage? The Bible says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For the Layman is a program that will equip you to set the captives free. Here now is Reverend Greg Donation, gives you pointers in your search for freedom. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. From death barren
womb, he heard my cry. Hi folks, welcome once again to another presentation of our program for the Layman. As you know by now, this is the program where we impart truths and specific areas of knowledge to equip our lay people for their work of the ministry, to make them effective counselors, to make them good listeners, and able to preach if we're doing preaching, to pray for those who are in bondage when we're doing deliverance. And at this time, we are looking at marriage. We're looking at the heavenly bliss that was supposed to be the portion of God's people, as it was on God's heart and what He intended. And I'm privileged and fortunate enough to have my lovely wife with me in the studio. Welcome to you, Annelie.
Thank you.
And we will together discuss some items that relate to the present crisis that many people experience in their marriages. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to realize that there is a terrible onslaught at this present time on marriages in particular, especially Christian marriages. You know, I can't remember a time where we were so inundated with people wanting to address, especially amongst dedicated Christians even, address the crisis that they face within their marriage. And it wasn't meant to be like that at all. If I can just sum up right from the start, we see the blueprint God had laid down for us in the Garden of Eden. God had created Adam, crown of His creation. He made him in the image of God. He was clothed with dignity, and he was immersed in all of God's blessings. Then God saw it was not good for him to be alone. That was the only missing component. He was alone. God brought all the animals, and God saw there was no suitable, compatible helper, a helpmeet that will meet God's requirements for the companionship that Adam was supposed to experience. And then He put Adam to sleep, and from Adam's rib, He formed Eve. Now this is a point that is labored over and over again, I think probably at every wedding. This is highlighted, that God took her, not from Adam's foot. He didn't take a toe bone and make Eve from a toe bone. And we joke about it. We say so that she would not be trampled upon and stepped upon. She won't be under his feet, which is important, very important aspect. Neither did he take a piece of the skull, or even the jawbone for that matter, so that she would come and sit on his head. So those two extremes were not figured into the equation when God planned for Adam and Eve to settle down as a family unit, have children and multiply. So God put Adam to sleep, and from the rib, from the side, He formed Eve so that Adam could, so to say, figuratively put his arm around her, hold her to his side. She's from his bosom, a helpmeet suitable for him, close to him, close by his side, from his rib. Now, that tells us she will neither sit on his head, neither will he trample down upon her. And that was meant to be a match made in heaven, so to say. There in the Garden of Eden, we find another factor entering in, a third person besides God. So we should actually say a fourth person. Comes in, the serpent arrives on the scene, and his single-minded objective is to cause this thing to crash. He wants to break up the marriage. We see the exact same thing happening today. I have just recently counseled folk where the wife, though a committed, I'm using that word purposefully, committed Christian, has basically said to the husband, "That's it, I want you to get out of the house. I don't want you here." And we have to look at that. We have to ask ourselves, a Christian woman, someone who would be regarded as a godly woman, and someone who is esteemed by others, just decides she'll take matters into her own hands and just she'll basically tell her husband, you get off. Get out. I don't want you anymore. So we have to look at that. We might say that is a human psychological dilemma. But then you get other situations, which we'll also look at now, and that is where a third person comes in and actually uses witchcraft. Now, that may make some people balk at the thought of it, but many do know that this is a reality. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, the husband's head hooks out and he does inexplicable things. Mm-hmm. And you say, what happened here? And then when you start to engage it and you begin to pray, then you discover all kinds of demonic and supernatural things happening, and the devil is directly involved in wanting to destroy that marriage. I don't know if at this stage you want to comment in any way.
Well, I think we've spoken about the fact that there are many things that husbands and wives can do wrong, and we've looked at that element of the wrong expectations and maybe things that we can do that's not wise and so on. But we haven't touched much on the fact that there can be like a fourth element, which is we always say, well, it's the marriage should be God, the husband and the wife together. And as Ecclesiastes says, rope made out of three cords cannot be broken. And it is so true. God unites us together, because if we're one with Him, both, then, and He makes us one with each other as well. But then when there's the other element, which is can be witchcraft. Now,
and that's unseen and invisible and hidden often.
Yes. And it should not affect believers if they are walking right with God, because the Bible tells us no witchcraft and no magic charm should work against God's people. But sometimes people get involved with things that they don't always realize that they are opening a door for the evil one. Maybe by getting involved in some New Age things themselves, having things in their home that they should not have, which has the mark of the enemy on it. And by having those things in their home, by maybe living a life of compromise, it's like there's a bridge in the wall and there's an opening for those kind of things to affect one. So yes, we don't believe that, you know, Christians should just be affected by the witchcraft of unbelievers in such a way, although it can come like fiery darts, it can come like an onslaught. But if we have compromised in our lives, and if there is a breach in the wall, then those things can very clearly affect such a marriage and such an individual. And people just don't know what comes over them. Suddenly they are driven about something, you know. If it's a wife, suddenly her husband has been the same husband all along, maybe a very quiet, passive person who doesn't do much in the home or is not very busy with the children, and then suddenly this, she can't tolerate it. But all these years it's been fine, but now there's something driving her that she has to be on his case all the time and niggle him about it and say things about it and make comments, and it's almost as if she cannot rest because he's like that. So it's like an outside source that is now working in on her mind so that she does not know what comes over her, but she cannot have peace. And eventually she feels, well, now he must rather just get out because I can't live with a man like that.
Yeah, I want to use an illustration. not directly related to marriage, but I want to illustrate the effect of what you bring into your home, what it can do to you, and how it can physically impact upon you. One of our co-workers many, many years ago had an acquaintance, an elderly lady in Cape Town, that he visited. On arriving there, one of the things that he encountered was she said to him that she suffers with insomnia. She can't sleep at night. So she works from early in the morning until quite late at night so that she can get herself tired and exhausted enough, hoping that the mere tiredness will make us fall asleep very quickly. Mm-hmm. She'll get into bed and she'll lie there awake and she just can't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And he heard her complain about this and he prayed. She wasn't a believer. And he spoke to the Lord and asked the Lord if the Lord could reveal to him what would be the reason for this.
Yeah.
And he just casually moved around the house from room to room. And then he saw on the mantelpiece over the fireplace that there was a small little bottle that appeared to be very strange. Mm. And it looked out of place. It didn't look like any other ornament. It looked unusual. So casually he asked her, what is this and where did it come from? She says, oh, that she had gone to the parade in Cape Town and there they got the flea market and various people have different things there, like flowers and pottery and so on. And as she walked past this one table, this thing attracted her attention. And she looked at it and she thought, this is unusual. It's very unique. It's not normal. And so it was cheap enough. She purchased it and she brought it home. She didn't think much more of it. It's just an ornament, a memorabilia, an artifact, something that she picked up from the parade, and it was unusual, so she kept it. Now, those were the days we didn't have cell phones, so you couldn't take a picture and send it to me by social media. He had to describe it. And when he did, because of our experience in this field, I said to him, brother, that looks like some kind of witchcraft, some fetish, some muti or medicine that has been put in there. It probably needs to go. So he said, well, you know, it's her property, and she's not going to be take kindly to the fact that he wants to destroy that. So I said, you know, we don't believe that the means or the end justifies the means, but when somebody's well-being is at stake, there's some risks we have to take. We can discuss the ethics and the intention behind this, but I would suggest move that bottle, a small little bottle, out of the house, put it somewhere outside, and just see what happens. And then when you do that, you pray, and you ask the Lord to cancel anything, any effect that this would have, which is what he did. And the next day, the lady said to him, you know, it's so good that you've come to visit me, because just your presence alone here seems to have had a tranquilizing effect upon me, because last night was the first night that I slept right through immediately as I put my head down on the pillow. So when he contacted me and shared this with me, I said, bingo, we've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
So now we know that it's not in her interest. Mm. But because she won't understand as an unbeliever, it's not going to help to approach her. So we're going to somewhat take matters into our own hands and we'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive us. But we are doing this not for selfish reasons or personal reasons, but we're doing it for her well-being. You keep it outside there for a while and see if the situation continues, which it did, by the way. She slept after that. Then we said, well, undoubtedly, that was it. And then he destroyed it. That was the end of her insomnia. Mm. I'm just giving you that story to illustrate that sometimes people bring things into their homes.
Yes.
And when they look back at where and when the trouble started,
yes,
it corresponds to them bringing that into their homes. But I see the clock tells us we have to have a short music break. This is GNCR, a program for the layman, and I'm Greg Donation with my wife, Annelie, sharing with you. Now, we just discussed, we know of a situation where somebody was approached by what appeared to be a prayer lady, and you are put off guard because they speak about the Lord Jesus, they call on the Heavenly Father, they talk Christianese. And you are trusting, you don't doubt everybody, so you accept on face value their Christian commitment. But then they give you a bottle of oil, and they say, well, this is for your protection. This will keep you safe.
Yeah, it will keep the evil spirits away, or the
yes.
evil things away.
In the meantime, it actually brings the evil spirits, because it's white magic.
Yeah.
And then this gets put into the house. The people who receive it don't really believe in it, but they don't want to offend somebody who meant it well, gave it to them. And then later on, much, much later on, they start having marriage problems. All kinds of things go wrong. And can even go to the point where one of the family members files for divorce. And then you wonder, what happened here?
Yes.
Of course, they come for counsel, and then you pray, and then they dream. And on the basis of what surfaces in the dream, suddenly the memory comes back. But we took this bottle of oil, which we kept like a magical fetish in the house. Mm-hmm. And if they look back, they say, well, it's from that moment that the trouble started, the tension and the conflict happened. And now, to solve that problem, they've got to get rid of that, renounce it, break away from it, cut their ties with it, and come loose from it, because it's supernatural. So the tension in the marriage is not physical, supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Greg, that there are some believers who think, well, because somebody said this was prayed over, and now will keep the evil one away, they just assume because the name of God is used, or the name even of the Lord Jesus, or whatever, and they pray over that little bottle of oil. Well, one does not even know if there's anything else done, but even if it was just prayer, and they don't realize, but God never intended for us to have fetishes and other things that we put our faith in besides Him. Not even the Bible as such, that can be used, even though it's the Word of God, but it doesn't become an object that has power in itself to keep evil away. Otherwise, we start thinking just like people who are unbelievers, who don't know the living God and that He is with us, He dwells in us, and He Himself is our protection. We don't need a little bottle of oil or even the Bible as such, or a
piece
cross.
Of magical cloth or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, because God is our protection, and they don't realize that if you read Deuteronomy 7, it speaks about the same curse that is on those things will come on you. And just because they use God's name doesn't sanctify it. I mean, just think of that time when the Israelites came out of Egypt and Aaron made that golden calf for them. What did he call it? He said, "This is the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt." He didn't say, "Oh, this is the Egyptian god
or Osiris or whatever."
Yes, he was actually calling it the God who led you out, and he said Yahweh, the one who led you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But the fact is, it was not what God commanded. Even if we think of the sons of Aaron who had unholy fire, and they were put to death. So the Lord is not pleased with us making our own things and calling it holy or calling it blessed by God and putting our faith in those things instead of in Him who brought us.
You see, what this means is that you can spend hours on a psychological platform trying to address the emotional needs, the psychological needs, the interpersonal relationship issues that are there.
Yes.
And these demons are sitting on the side, watching all of this, listening to all of this, and almost keeling over with joy that one is fussing about all these human issues when actually the real source of the problem is witchcraft and black magic.
Yes.
And this has often happened, for example, if maybe a lady has set her sights on a certain husband knowing that he's married, mm-hmm. but she wants him. She
yes.
doesn't mind destroying the marriage.
Yes.
So she goes to a fortune teller. She goes to a psychic medium. And sometimes these are people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets the kind of love potion that she wants, which she puts in his food or in his drink whenever they have an opportunity, because it could be at work.
Mm.
And suddenly he loses his love for his wife. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
And there's conflict and tension that arises until eventually he's only got one mind, and that is, I want out. I want a divorce.
Yes.
And no amount of trying to patch it up
Yeah.
No amount of trying or saying to, let's say, the wife, okay, you've got to jack up these areas because this is what is causing the problem. You say to the husband, you've got to jack up those areas because that's causing the problem. You find that even though they may become perfect in those areas where they failed before, it simply just isn't enough to solve the problem.
Exactly, because there's something else at work, and that is determined to destroy that marriage. And unless the root cause of it, which in this case then is a spiritual one, not that we say that all of them are that, but in cases where it is, then you'll deal with all the other things, and you just won't understand why aren't we getting anywhere? Because as much as you try to be a better wife or do everything that should be pleasing him, and maybe he's trying from his side, but it's just like, it's just not working.
Yeah, I can just give you an example. One of the cases that we had to deal with, where we spent hours finding out what the weaknesses and the shortcomings were, and it was wonderful to see that, for example, the wife was very open, admitted her failures and her shortcomings, and was very transparent and all of that. And we could then prescribe a course of action where those things are addressed, and you've got to work on it. This has got to change. You cannot continue giving the man reasons to want to divorce you. So it has to be addressed. If you want to save your marriage, you have to address it. And lo and behold, after months of working on that and really succeeding and addressing that and coming right in that area, after a number of months of quietness, and it seemed as if it's all working now, nothing has fallen apart, suddenly there's a letter that arrives for a summons. They served with divorce papers. And you ask, but what happened? They've ticked all the boxes now. There's no longer, and you've got to be reasonable. I mean, we aren't aliens from outer space or superhuman beings, little gods. We are human. We make mistakes. And it's on both sides. So marriage is made up of two good forgivers. But here, regardless of all the, shall we say, the psychological and the human level issues that were addressed and dealt with, you couldn't solve the problem because it was spiritual.
Exactly. Yeah, so the only way one would be able to then deal with it is to go to the spiritual route and to turn to the Lord to destroy the witchcraft and that spell.
I think the beginning of that would be to, first of all, acknowledge that there is a possibility there could be supernatural reasons for this breakdown of the marriage.
And usually if people are sincerely seeking the Lord as to how to solve this problem and how to fix their marriage relationship, God is faithful. And if there is something like that, He will in some or other way bring it to light and bring it to memory, that they remember somebody saying something or giving them something or doing something, or they'll have a dream.
I was going to say, very often it comes out in the dreams.
Yes.
And then the dreams can be very, very revealing.
And
maybe at first they might be confusing, but as soon as you start pointing certain things out, then it's like you're connecting the dots. And then the picture forms out of that, and we've encountered this. We could address it, and then deliverance came. Only the clock has caught us again, so we'll have to say goodbye until next time.
Goodbye.
Thanks, folks, that we could be with you for this time. It feels for us like it's a chat around the fire. Goodbye, and God bless. And to all the things that have kept you away.